You know, all other ground really is sinking sand. If our hope is not anchored upon Christ and based upon the teachings of God's eternal word, then there really is no hope. But for those of us who are Christians, we have an unwavering hope. As that song suggested a moment ago, and we sing so proudly tonight and so confidently, that my hope is built on nothing less. You know, some of the saddest words that people ever speak are these words: there is no hope. Sometimes we have loved ones who perhaps are suffering and maybe on hospital beds, and the doctor may come out and just simply say those words to the family: well, there's just no hope. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? Sometimes we fail to realize that with God, there is tremendous hope. There is. You know, I was thinking about Deanna Chapman, and she is here tonight too, and thank you for being here. And the doctor told her just a few months ago that she had a 15% chance of survival. But this week, she learned that she is cancer-free. Boy, can you imagine? And, you know, Dan, I know you were surprised and thankful, but you know what's even more amazing, probably beyond that, is perhaps the look on the doctor's face when those scans were made. You know, God is a good God. We don't always understand why some survive and some do not. There's a reason for all things, and we have to leave that in the hands of God. And I'm not here tonight to question someone's survival or actually whether they will face demise or physical death. But I know that there's a reason beyond all of that. But I want to talk to you tonight about hope. You know, there is hope. You know, there's a difference between the worldly view of hope and the spiritual view of hope that God gives unto us. Now, the worldly definition is to look forward with desire or reasonable confidence, or number two, to believe or to desire or to trust maybe in someone or something. That is to say that I hope that my work will be satisfactory. People say that maybe at the job sometimes, especially when you're getting ready. Maybe teachers do that, no doubt, when they're faced with an appraisal, whether or not their work really is sufficient. But what kind of hope does the Bible really give? Well, hope arouses as nothing else can. It does. It arouses a passion for the possible. Now, I want us to look at the scriptural definition of hope. I've given you the worldly definition, but the scriptural definition of hope is found in Thayer's book as he defines hope in the Greek language. It's an expectation of good. It is joyful. It is being confident in all things, an expectation of eternal salvation. You see, the hope that we have in Christ is a hope that transcends this world or this life. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Now consider that. Paul says that if our hope lies in the world only, then we will be tremendously miserable. Now, W. Vine, in his expository dictionary word, as he defines them, gives us this definition, several of them. He says it is a favorable and confident expectation based upon the book of Romans, chapter 8, where he says that we are saved by hope. It describes the happy anticipation of good, according to Titus chapter 1, where he talks about the hope that we have also in Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, where the Bible says that we ought to be ready as God's people to answer questions that people may bring to us about the hope that we have in Christ. The King James Version says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. I wonder tonight, could you be able to give a reasonable answer to someone who asked about your hope? For we through the Spirit, Paul writes in Galatians 5 and 5, we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You know, when Paul talks about that love, that biblical love in 1 Corinthians 13, he describes it right along with two other things, those being faith and hope. He says, now there abides three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Paul's not negating the idea that faith is important. He's certainly not trying to convey that hope is unimportant. All of those can be measured through the Holy Scripture. Worldly hope says that it is, well, you're hoping for a desirable outcome in this life. Remember, our hope should transcend this life. It's kind of like maybe tonight you're hoping the Dallas Cowboys will win the football game. Fat chance of that. But I shouldn't say that, folks. But anyway, a lot of people say, well, if I can win that contest, then you know, I'm hoping that I'm going to win it. What about gambling? Or what about those of you, I hope you don't play the lottery. I hope you don't go down and buy lottery tickets and waste your money that way. But some people do. I understand that. I know they do. But that is a false hope. It is gambling. It is trying to pick that winning lotto ticket where you will. What would you do with all that money anyway? I would hope you would give at least 10% to the Lord, because the devil has had it long enough. It's like wishing for something or someone. That is, hoping to build a relationship. Young people want to build a relationship with someone, maybe in high school, maybe even in junior high, elementary now. I don't know. I heard two of our elementary students talking the other day, and they said, we're going together. I said, going together? Where are you going? You know? And it's amazing how these kids pick up on such silly things. People sometimes hope for a job or a better lifestyle. That's the kind of hope that they're looking for. Sometimes when they think about their last hope, they're thinking in terms of maybe overcoming a terminal illness, maybe in some fashion or another, heart disease, cancer, stroke, whatever it may be. But let's talk about spiritual hope. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. You and I have been called by God to a lively hope. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul even goes on to say that the hope that we have will serve as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. But I want to go back to this passage one more time here in Ephesians 4, where he says there's one Lord, one faith, you know. We've been called and one hope of our calling. He says, but there is one faith, there is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, in all, and through you all. Now, Christian hope, listen, is based upon faith. If we didn't have faith in God, we wouldn't have hope. We wouldn't. Our hope rests upon our faith in God. And love, I told you a moment ago about faith, hope, and love. Love is the outgrowth of hope, isn't it? But hope is our motivation for life. It is the thing that drives us. It is the thing that challenges us to keep moving forward. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and other passages there, in verse 13 and also in verse 21, Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us according to his abundant mercy and has begotten us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever. You know, you can always tell unbelievers because they're always running scared all the time. They're always fearful. But those of us who have confidence in Christ know that, listen, that passage found over the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 is true. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. and the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purposes. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament. And in those letters, in the Testament itself, we find 1 Thessalonians. It's a book that Paul, really it's an epistle, it's a letter to the church who were going through great trials. And in verse 13, Paul writes to them that they should not sorrow as others who have no hope, he says. Go back and read that. He says, you shouldn't sorrow. He didn't say it was wrong to be sorrowful over the death of a loved one. That's what he's talking about there. He said, but sorrow not as those who have no hope. I'm going to tell you something. For me to speak at a memorial service for someone who is not a Christian is a great consternation. I'm honest about it. I will tell you, I think about those people and I think, where is their destiny? Well, according to the Bible, I know where it is. I know where it rests. But what hope do you have? For a Christian, hope is a product, as I said, of our faith. And the stronger our faith, the stronger the hope becomes. It does. Hope, let me tell you, is not a dream, but a way of making our dreams become reality. If they're based upon truth. Do you ever dream about heaven? There's a song that we sing about that song. Dreaming of heaven's grace. You ever think about that? You ever dream about going to heaven? Where is your dream? Well, the basis for our Christian hope is the fact that God cannot lie. That Paul mentions that in that same book of Hebrews. Isn't it wonderful tonight to know that God is not a liar? And as a matter of fact, he warns all of us who are liars in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8. For he says, for all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone. But he talks about the immutable things of God. And one of them is that God cannot lie. It's not he won't lie, but he cannot lie. God cannot lie. God is so pure. God is so holy. God is so just. God is so truthful. For in Titus 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promise before the world began. Isn't that something? I mean, he promised heaven before the world even had its beginning. And then in Hebrews 6 and verse 18, right before that one where it talks about the anchor of the soul, he says it's impossible for God to lie. We have hope because Christ was raised from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. And then we have hope because of the assurance of the witnesses of the resurrection. You know, we've been hearing a lot about witnesses. I'm going to tell you, these were credible witnesses. They didn't have to have an FBI investigation to find out, you know, if these witnesses were true and if they were genuine and if they were real. They were. 1 Corinthians 15, they repeatedly spoke of the hope which was laid up for us in heaven and which you heard before the word of truth, the gospel. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, and everyone who has this hope, here's the word again, everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. Well, what are the results of having this hope? If we talk about it as a hope that's not like the hope that we have in the world, it's not like young people who maybe hope to get a car someday or young people hope that their grades will be good in school, and I hope they are, but anyway, it's so much more than that. It is a hope that protects us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, and Paul talks about putting on the helmet of hope. It is a hope that purifies, as John wrote a moment ago, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Hope stabilizes us. It brings us back to reality and where we are. You know, everything doesn't have to be just right for us to have hope in God. David said in the Old Testament, he says, why wait I for? He says, for my hope is in thee. Now, if David could write that almost 4,000 years ago, then surely we can have that same kind of hope tonight. For the Christian, hope is a number of things. It's Jesus. Without Christ, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. Do you realize that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, we wouldn't have a hope of the body being raised out of the grave? That's our hope tonight, isn't it? Our hope is based upon the resurrection. It would be sad indeed for us to take a loved one out to the cemetery, or if you choose to be cremated and scatter your ashes to the wind and hope that someday that, that person would all come together again in a new body that was fashioned by God. And Paul talks about it being an incorruptible body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That wouldn't happen if there had been no resurrection. Our hope is based upon righteousness. Jesus said, unless your righteousness supersedes the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see their righteousness based upon Matthew chapter 23. Or you find Jesus in Matthew 5 saying, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There would be no salvation. And if there were no salvation, there would be no hope. I hope someday to see the Lord. That's my hope. It doesn't really matter whether or not you leave this life with a lot of money, or whether you leave this life with a lot of prominence, or whether you leave this life with all the things that you ever wanted to acquire in life, and you got them. Hey, you know what? It's like the bumper sticker I've seen so many times on the back of cars. It says, you know what? He who has the most things when he dies is a winner. There is no greater untruth. You know why? You will leave them all right here. You will. Everything that you own will stay right here. It will. Eternal life. Possibility of going to heaven. Rest upon our hope, doesn't it? And it is, as I said, Hebrews 6:19, the anchor of the soul. It is a thing that purifies us. We sang that song as we were singing a moment ago. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. And when all around my soul gives way, then he is all my hope and stay. You know, I've been with people who have been through traumatic experiences in life. Maybe the death of a loved one, they had no one left. I've been with people who have lost all of their possessions in a fire. I've been with people who lost them all through tornadic winds. I was with someone just recently down in Southeast Texas who lost their home when Hurricane Harvey came through, lost everything they had, preacher of the gospel. This church helped him when that happened. But you know what? He lost everything. He lost everything but his hope. His hope remained. The world has no hope. It doesn't. For there's no hope without Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. And where there is no hope, there is emotional fear and trauma and anxiety that people go through. There is spiritual pain. It is. And eternal sorrow and death. Hebrews chapter 2. One final thought. When we think about hope, the Christian lives, the real Christian lives and dies in hope. And you know what? One of these days, that hope will eventuate into reality. It is. Someone said of those three things, faith, hope, and love, there's only one thing that will remain after you die. You know what it is? Not hope. It's love. Love still remains. We will sing praises around God's throne because we love him. But think about it. We no longer will need faith, and it will drop off the spectrum. Faith becomes reality. We won't any longer need hope because our hope will give way to all that we have hoped for. The world lives and dies in hopelessness. And there is nothing more heart-wrenching. So God says to us to choose hope. In John the 14th chapter, the Bible says, without Christ, there is no hope. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Jesus came to give us hope. That hope belongs only to those who are Christians. That's why tonight, I can't tell you that you have hope if you're not a Christian. That's why I plead with people all the time to become Christians, to be baptized, to repent of their sins and base your faith upon God. The only real hope you have tonight is whether or not you're a baptized believer and if you're really a Christian and whether or not you're honoring God with your life, whether you really are. And I'm going to tell you something. Are you honoring God with your life? If you're not honoring God with your life, your hope is based upon something that is unreal. The Bible says someday, Revelation 1 and verse 7, that every eye shall see him. And I'll tell you tonight that God is reaching out to us. He does. He reaches out to us. And the real question is, will you take the hand of God and place your hand in his? That's what hope's about, folks. It is. We sang that old hymn, Whispering Hope, soft as the voice of an angel. Isn't it wonderful to have it tonight? I'm thankful that we do. I'm thankful that you have it. But if there is some question in your mind about whether you have it, I hope tonight that you'll respond to the invitation of our Lord. Give your hand to me, your heart to God, and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of tonight to make your hope real. David's going to lead this song, and as we reflect upon the words of the song and the words that we have shared with you tonight, I hope that you're prepared to make that decision while we stand and while we sing.